if you would turn in your Bibles as they're leaving to Isaiah chapter 9. And Isaiah chapter 9, we'll just be looking at a couple verses there in Isaiah 9. As you can see, our second candle of the Advent has been lit this morning. Our first was the candle of hope last week, and we talked about our hope. And then this Sunday, it's the candle of peace that represents our peace. Now, I want you to think about that this morning, peace, and what it means to us, and who it is that brings that peace to our world. And such a great thought as we're going into our Christmas season, that our Prince of Peace is what we'll be looking at this morning in Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll talk about the context in a minute. But just for, let's reverence God's Word and stand to our feet and let's read Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Very familiar verses. You'll remember them when you hear them. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Father, I pray in Jesus' name, I thank you for every person that's here that braved the cold and the ice to come out and worship you today. But I pray that your word will go forth, that you'll hide me behind the cross. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. On this second Sunday of Advent, as we think about and as we prepare for Christmas that is to come and coming soon, that we think about the peace candle and what it represents. When I ask you about and talk to you about peace, there's many things that would come to mind. I think about, a lot of times we'll think about that. You'll see those beauty contests, and the ladies will ask, they'll be asked the question, and it always is what? World peace. And what does that mean? World peace, you know. But and there, I want you to know something this morning. The only time that we will ever, the world will ever see peace is if it receives Jesus Christ as its personal Savior. Until then, we will not have peace until He returns. I want us to think about that this morning. The English Puritan, Thomas Lye, I want you to listen to what he says. And he's talking about Isaiah, the context of Isaiah chapter 9. He said, "God often brings his people into a condition in that they do not know what to do. He does this so they might know what he can do." What a great statement. What a great statement. He brings his people oftentimes into a state, into a situation that they do not know what to do so that they can learn what he can do. Isaiah prophesies, and he's speaking of this light that's coming into the darkness that we see when we get to chapter 9. And really, the first seven chapters, or eight chapters of Isaiah, he's talking, he's a prophet, and he's came, and he's really commencing. He's telling them about what's getting ready to happen, about exile, about destruction, about all these things. It's great. This is, they're surrounded by this darkness, overwhelming sin that has that they've ushered into the country, God's chosen place. And so God's raised up Isaiah to go and proclaim, listen, the northern kingdom is separated from the southern kingdom. It's a time of dividedness in the promised land. You got the 10 tribes in the north and Judah in the south, and the two tribes in the south. And so you have this ongoing, it's all constant friction. World powers that are raising up at any time that can take over and destroy. That brings a lot of worry, doesn't it? It'll bring a lot of fret to people's homes when we think about Assyria has come up on the horizon. Assyria would be a nation that would bring great destruction to the whole region. And so that was looming over them all the time. Even Syria, that we'll see as we get into it. Syria and Israel, the 10 northern tribes, had come together to combat this world power that was coming. And they came to Judah and said to Ahaz, which is king, and said, "You need to join forces so that we can defeat Assyria." And Judah wouldn't do that, wouldn't join forces with them. And so they're actually rising against Judah. And so it's just wars and rumors of wars. Hello? This time of great darkness that in Isaiah. And so I want us to think about that as we go into this. We know that the northern kingdom is soon to be in exile. The southern kingdom would follow years later with Babylon. And so it's this whole turmoil of darkness, this whole turmoil of unknown. concern, looking at their world, and understanding what's going to happen and asking that question. Can anybody relate to that this morning? We live in that world, don't we? And yet God, through His Word, brings us comfort when we look and we see His Scripture. And our decorations, our candle, uses something as simple as a candle to remind us He's our Prince of Peace this morning. He's the one that can bring peace. And so He would speak a great joy in the midst of great darkness, as God always or often does. And let's look at this prophecy this morning as we consider our Prince of Peace on this second Sunday of Advent. I want to think of just a couple names as we pull out of this. And really, there are a lot of times they're separated in Scripture, but if you study it out, they go together. There are really four great names in this section that He's saying. I want us to think first is our wonderful Counselor. Look at verse 6 when it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders, and His name will be called," the first name, "Wonderful Counselor." God has a plan. God has a plan. I want you, this Counselor, He's wonderful, the Scripture says here. And we all are in need of counseling. Are we not? Does anybody in here never need counseling? I want you to know something. That's one of the greatest privileges that I have as a pastor. And it's scary, though. Why? Because I have to be careful when I counsel people. And I have to be counseled myself. I go to people when I'm struggling. Or it's good to have accountability partners. It's good to have people that will speak into your life. But I want you to know something. This Counselor is perfect. He has a plan for each and every one of us. He has a plan for our nation. He has a plan all set out in eternity. He's our wonderful Counselor. I want you to think about when we often think of a counselor, if we're not careful, you know what we think about a therapist, don't we? Yeah. Have you ever been to one? You go in there and you just talk for an hour and then they charge you $100 and you go home and wonder who just got taken. Who just got helped the most? This is not that type of counselor that He's talking about here. He don't struggle with our advice. He doesn't struggle with how it is, what it is that He needs to tell us. He's God. He's Wonderful Counselor. Our Wonderful Counselor has wise ideas. He gives good advice. He has great plans. His direction, it's these wonderful plans that He has, and if we follow His direction, then we have this purpose. We have this plan. We're searching for peace. We're searching for purpose. We're searching for fulfillment in each and every life here. Everybody sitting here will struggle with that in some point in their life. Well, they're like, what is my purpose? What is my plan? What does God have planned for me? We can find that in our Wonderful Counselor. Earthly kings always surrounded themselves with counselors. I want you to know something that to advise in certain situations, a wise leader will listen to wise counsel. This Wonderful Counselor is the embodiment of wisdom. Listen, how privileged we are as His children of God to be able to take our cares, our concerns, our decisions, our heartbreak to such a one. He's that counselor. Listen, and that word wonderful, it's an adjective in Hebrew. And it actually means that which requires God as an explanation. Think about that. Intervention of God is the foundation of this word, wonderful. Do we need the intervention of God? Well, do we need the intervention of God today? Our Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful. Jesus was a wonder in Himself. Isaiah 40 says, "Who has understood the mind of God?" Who has understood? The Lord Jesus is God, and He reveals Himself to us, it will see. He's our Wonderful Counselor, and He was and He is the wonder of Christmas. That's what Christmas is about, this one that came. Are you needing counsel this morning? Are there situations in your life that maybe you're scratching your head and wondering if God cares? Wondering what God's direction is? The Wonderful Counselor is the one to take it to Christ. Isaiah 8, as we looked at that chapter before, it records that they were looking for answers. They needed answers. They needed help. But the problem was they were turning to the wrong places. Look in verse 19. It says, of Isaiah 8, 19. It says, "And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter, should not my people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? And to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." What were they turning to? Mediums? Wizards? I'm thinking, man, nothing new under the sun. It's every town. You go up Main Street there and boom, there's a palm reader, ain't it? Go up there and read, get your palm read and let her tell you what's going to happen in the future. Let me tell you. I can read it just about as good. I can make up anything. Why would we want to go to garbage like that? Why would we want to read our horoscope every morning and say, "Well, it's not going to be a good day. My horoscope says to stay at home." Or, "Is it going to be a good day? My horoscope." Why would you do such ignorant stuff? Listen, why would we want to turn to the stars when we got the maker of the stars that we can go to at any time? And we can ask Him and spend time with Him intimately. And He has a plan. Why? He's a wonderful counselor. He has plan and purpose for your life, even in the midst of your storm. He'll see you through. Why don't we want to turn to Him? People know they need a counselor. Why? They need help. So they'll turn to anything and everything. You know, life doesn't always turn out the way we expect it, does it? There's uncertainties, chaos. We need a counselor. Talk to Jesus every day. Just go to Jesus. Talk to Him. He's never out of the office. And you know what? He tells us to turn to Him. The answer to somebody, some of you, problem today that you might be carrying, you just need to take it to Jesus. That sounds so simple, don't it? But yet, it's so profound. And that's, in a lot of times, it's the last place that we want to take it. We'll go to everything and everybody. The wonderful counselor has come. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Our wonderful counselor has a plan. But not only that, look at the next word, the next name. Mighty God. Man, not that's not that the first was speaking of His plan, but now it's speaking of His power here. Mighty God. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God." What do you mean? Transcendent other, far above that which we could ever comprehend. That God becomes imminent in the form of a baby. How much more personal can you get? Huh? How much more personal than a little baby that has to be taken care of by his mom? That was God. That was ultimate power. And it didn't diminish His power whatsoever. He does for us what we could never do for ourselves. He brings forgiveness. You want to talk about peace in your soul and your heart? To bring this God that was a babe that came to a manger. Listen, He brought true peace, the only peace that can bring that peace to our longing souls when we're forgiven. Does anybody need forgiveness this morning? Oh my goodness, every day He brings that. He brings that. Think about meekness, that word meekness. Power under control. God. Babe. You want to see a picture of meekness? God as a babe in a manger. Power under control. The gospel's telling, and listen to what John says, John 1:3. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. How powerful is that? That's your God. That's your Prince of Peace. That's your mighty God. That's the babe that we're celebrating. That's all these decorations that we have. All this preparedness that we make is not just to celebrate a time of year. It's to celebrate a Savior and a babe that came, a mighty God in the form of a baby. Why? For us. For us. How could this babe grow up to be a man that would feed 5,000 people with few loaves of bread and a couple fish? How could He do that? How could he stand at a grave of a friend one day and say, Lazarus, come forth? And he comes hopping out in the grave clothes. I don't know. He had to hop out. He can't walk with them things on, can he? How could he do that? How could he touch the eyes of the blind and they see? How could he touch the lame and they leap? How? Mighty God. Great teacher is what the world will say. Great man. No. Mighty God. Mighty God. The wonder of it all is our God becomes part of his creation. Pat, don't miss that. He becomes part of that which he created. Mighty God. He is able, my friend. Well, God, I don't know if God can do it or not. You don't know our God. Can he do it? He can do anything and everything. Why? He created it all. He's walked where you have walked. The same chapter or the same book tells us that he was acquainted with our griefs, a man of sorrows. You're not facing anything that he can't relate to. Take it to your wonderful counselor. But most of all, take it to your mighty God. Why? He has power to see you through whatever situation you're facing. This child was born. This son was given. It was God himself. God himself. The next word, look. Everlasting Father. Speaking of his paternity, look what the scripture, what does it say? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He's our Father. And we saw last week he adopted us into the family. We're part of his. Why? Through Christ we become sons and daughters of this King. He's our Heavenly Father. Matthew 7 says this, what man among you, if he has a son that asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Listen to this, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? If we can be a good father here on this earth, how much more so than our Heavenly Father that's in control of all things? That you're his son and you're his daughter. He knows how to give his children good gift. And the greatest gift was the reason he came. What was that? To give us forgiveness again, complete forgiveness. In fact, the scripture says that he casts our sin where? In the depths of the sea. As far as the east is from the west. So much is his forgiveness unto us. And he gives us that which we can never attain for ourselves. He gives us forgiveness of our sins. That's a good father, ain't it? He cares. Our sins are gone. Cast in the sea of God's forgiveness. We can go to earthly counselors and they can help, but they can never give us help or give us guilt to cleanse our guilt away from our sins. Nobody can do that but God. Only he can deliver us and forgive us. A lot of times this world make you feel like a nobody. Has a way of doing that. Satan likes to do that, by the way. Don't listen to his lies. You're somebody to God in Jesus Christ. Somebody. Sometimes this world make you feel like the last four digits of the Social Security number. Just a number that we utter off. You're more than a number to God. How do I know that? The babe grows up into a man. Gives his life on a cross. For you. For you. Nobody else. You. That's how much I know that he loves me. Sometimes the world will tell you you're nobody, but listen, you're somebody in Jesus' name. Everybody sitting here is important to God. He cares. Well, lastly, the Prince of Peace. He brings peace. It's our candle, our peace candle for today. Listen, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government, and peace there will be no end upon the throne of David, and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. What Ahaz, the king, couldn't do, he couldn't bring peace to his subjects. He couldn't go out higher than Assyrians to make everything better. In fact, the Assyrians would be the thing that carries off the northern kingdom, and they would come against Jerusalem itself. If it wasn't been for God, they would have took it then. God had a different plan. Ahaz couldn't bring what the people needed, but God could. Why? He was the Prince of Peace. Charles Stanley said, "Peace is not based upon circumstances. Rather, it is a supernatural gift that we are blessed with when we walk with Jesus as our Lord and Savior." Every generation is looks for peace. All our vast technology and understanding of the universe still leaves us longing for peace. All the education, all the access leaves us sagging beneath the burden of emptiness. We cannot work it out. All the self-help, find yourself and find the answer, doesn't work. We don't need any help. It's what the world says. We don't need a Savior from Nazareth. We can do it. How's that working out for everybody? How's that working out for our world today? We don't need Him. How's it look to you? Empty, without hope. People doing things that you say, well, how? Why do they do that? It's what people without hope do. But Jesus is our mediator between God. He's between God's holiness and that sinfulness that we had. He's that mediator that crosses that bridge. We see, you know, sin's like weeds in the garden. You ever notice that? It's an amazing thing. Look, come spring, I'll have that thing tilled up, and it'll look good. I'll have somebody come down with that tractor on the back. It'll look so good and so clean. But you know what? A couple few weeks into that, and I get lazy, what happens? The weeds start coming up. If you don't stay after them weeds, they'll take it over. Go up there and look at it now. Looks like a weed patch. Why? That's how sin is. We allow a few sprouts to weeds in our life. And before it's over with, it's a weed patch of sin in our life. We have to deal with it. Jesus came, man, to give us that peace. And we don't need self-help. We don't need more education. What is it? This is about our personal acceptance of Jesus Christ in our life. We're the most educated people in the world. How's that working out? How happy is everybody? How much peace does everybody have? I'm preaching to myself this morning, by the way. Why? Because, man, until February 28, 1990, I didn't have peace. I had fun. I could have fun for a while, but I never had this sustaining thing where I sat down and I felt like life was complete. Why? Because I didn't have Jesus. Until He came into my heart, I didn't know what peace was. The people out listening outside the doors of this church, maybe even somebody sitting here, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't have Christ as your Savior, it's that gnawing and that yearning that you have when you lay down at night, when everything gets quiet, and you're wondering if this is all life's about. Only Christ can bring that into your life. Only Him. When we accept what He has accomplished, what He has achieved, then our self is going to be crucified. We're not going to find ourselves or our goals. This self-help jargon that the world feeds us, that's man-centered. That's all about the man in the mirror, taking care of him, not worried about anybody else. Is that what we need to find ourselves? I don't have no problem finding myself, and I don't ever like what I see when I do, okay? We're bankrupt. We're bankrupt. Think about it. As a nation, we pride ourselves on being the greatest nation on earth. How bankrupt are we going to have to be before we turn to the one that can bring the peace? We've got an incurable disease, a our creator. He's our sustainer. He's our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father. He's our Prince of Peace. His purpose for our life. You know, we just settle for the mire of the world if we're not careful. And he has such a great plan. He's prepared a great feast for his sons and daughters. And we'll just settle for scraps and mire of the world. Why would we do that? Only true peace comes from the Prince of Peace. Without Jesus possessing everything, we have nothing. With Jesus possessing nothing, we have everything. Anybody believe that this morning? If you've got Christ, you've got everything that you need. Listen, peace is not the absence of turmoil. It's the presence of God. You cannot get peace, but peace can get you. You can't get peace, but peace can get you. If you're that person that, hey, you have to be honest with yourself anyway, and you have to admit, you know what, I really don't have any peace inside. And that's our first step to the cross. That's our first step to saying, I need peace, though. And only Christ can bring that. Does that mean that everything just runs hunky-dory and everything's just so fine? All the bills are paid, nothing tears up? That's what all of us think. I don't know what world you're living in, but I ain't found that one yet, okay? Not that. It's not the absence of turmoil. It's the presence of God. No matter what I go through, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, the presence of God. That's why I don't fear no evil. He's with me. You remember that night the heavenly host bursts on the scene? Them old shepherds out in the field wasn't ready for it. And what are they singing? Peace on earth! Goodwill to men! You want world peace? It's in the form of a baby. It's in a person. It's Jesus. Why? Why would they do that? Because, listen, the only true avenue to peace had come. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. That's what we celebrate. I'm not talking about the plastic answer to the contest, world peace. I'm talking about the true peace. I'm talking about the peace of a soul that only comes through a relationship with Christ. As we celebrate this second Sunday of Advent, the peace candle is lit. But do you really have peace in your soul? How long will we search for it when it can only be found in a relationship? Find peace this morning. Our Prince of Peace has come. And is coming again. Linda, come play and we'll have our applications. Number one, do you turn to the Lord in troubled times? Do you turn to Him? Is that the first place you turn, or is it, well, I guess I need to turn to God. I've tried everything else to fix my situations, but then I turn to God. Last-ditch effort should be the first thing that we do. Trouble comes, turn to the Lord. And we accept it. Can't ever get over old Job. We accept it. Whatever we lose, whatever losses we go through, what did he say? Naked I came into the world, naked I shall leave. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. That's true worship, is it not, Lee? That's not, my situation is controlling what we do, but I'm in control in that. I know that the Lord's in control no matter what I'm facing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is that how I approach my troubles? Number two, what do you really need this Christmas? Oh, we might have a list this long. What do we really need this Christmas? Is it a new understanding of Christ? Is it Christ Himself that you might have been eating and nibbling on the edges for a long time? But you realize, you know what? Oh, I really don't have this thing. I'm missing something. Could be Christ. What do you really need for Christmas? Ask yourself that. Lastly, is there peace in your life? Let's stand on our feet. Is there peace in my life? We had the candle of hope last week, candle of peace. Does anybody understand the peace that only comes through that relationship with Jesus Christ this morning? Let's bow our heads before the Lord. What's God saying to you? Holy Spirit, He goes out and He does a work in our hearts when we're listening to God's Word. And God's Word does it. It's not the preaching foolishness of men, but it's God's Word. What's He spoken to you this morning? Do you have that peace? Do you know that you have Christ as your personal Savior? Well, what would people think? I've been coming to church all my life. Who cares what people think? You're with family. You're in the most safest place you should be. It's what does God think this morning? Could be the greatest Christmas you ever had. What do you need for Christmas? What do you need? Ask yourself that. Then lastly, do you have peace? Do you have peace in your soul? What is it God said to you? Altar's open if you need to come pray. Give you a few moments. Just come do business with the Lord. He's waiting on you. You'll just come lay it down in His feet. What's the Lord saying to you? Came upon a midnight clear. Keep your eyes closed for just a moment. I want you to know something. You've heard me say this before. It might not be walking in, it's not walking an aisle that makes you saved. It's receiving a Savior into your heart. The Holy Spirit has pricked your heart. And you didn't walk an aisle. You can ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart right now. All you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, save me. I am so sorry. Forgive me of my sin. I turn and I repent from my sin. I turn to You. And I'm asking You to be my Savior. That's all you got to do. That's, the Bible says that those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But when you do that, you're going to let somebody know. Life's going to change. We can mouth it all day long, but until it's in our heart, it'll never take root. And so I want you to know that this morning. Make this Christmas about Christ. That's what it's about. And I love each and every one of you. Look here. Tonight, no services. All right? 3 o'clock, though, we're going to have choir practice. Choir, we need to practice, but we can get in here and get gone before it freezes back. All right? That's the most important thing. But take care of yourself. Be careful walking out through the parking lot because there might be still some ice. Might be some ice on the road. Be careful going home. But we'll come back Wednesday night ready to worship again, okay? We do have Wednesday night service, by the way. If that's it might be a surprise to you. I just want to make that known. We do have Wednesday night service. Have a great time. The Awanas, youth, even have a decent Bible study in spite of the preacher in here. So come on out and be a part of it. I love each and every one of you. Listen, have a safe week. Love you, and let's pray. Lee, go ahead and close us in prayer.